بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This month is the month of the Quran al-Kareem. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Quran al-Kareem was revealed in the month of Ramadan. However, that doesn't mean that you engage in the Quran al-Kareem only in the month of Ramadan. You are supposed to engage with the Quran al-Kareem at all times. So much so that you engage in the Quran al-Kareem from the time you are born, whether you understand it or not. When a child is born, the first thing the child will hear is Tawheed. What do you do when a child is born? As soon as the child emerges from the womb and takes a breath of this toxic air, the first thing the child is supposed to hear, and that's the appropriate thing to do, is proclaim the name of Allah. And how do you do that? You say the azan in the ear of the child. In the right ear you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you give the azan. The first thing the child is going to hear is the proclamation of the Tawheed, of the oneness and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is ultimately where the journey begins for this child. And this is all the way until death. When at the time of death a person proclaims La ilaha illallah and gives his soul to the messenger who is in charge of extracting, taking, wrapping up the soul, removing it, and then the soul undertaking a very different journey. Until that moment, between the birth and the death, there is an absolute and complete proclamation of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Well, don't you reflect on what the Quran al-Kareem is saying? What is the Quran al-Kareem teaching us from the onset all the way? The Quran al-Kareem is teaching us the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should you be doing? As I was saying yesterday, Tawheed is embedded in every act of worship, in everything we do. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran al-Kareem? inna salata wa nusuki, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. Inna salat, your salah, your namaz, they are acts of worship. Wa nusuki, and your qurbani, anything you sacrifice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from in the literal sense all the way to the metaphorical sense. Wa nusuki, wa mahyaya, your life from the time you're born till the time you die, that is your life. And in between anything that happens to you in your life, in that period that you have been allowed to exist on this planet, wa mamati, and then ultimately at the time of your death, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati, all for who? Lillahi rabbil alameen. Everything, absolutely everything, is for whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I was saying, Tawheed is embedded into everything, and this is how it works. There's an element of Tawheed in every aspect of this deen. It's not without Tawheed. Now some may say, well, Tawheed is, you proclaim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only worthy of worship and there's no deity and you don't do shirk. Totally, absolutely agreed. Not only does it have a literal meaning, but also there's a metaphorical aspect attached to it. This ayat actually tells you that your salat, your qurbani, your sacrifice, your life and your death, all for whom? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that instance, and the example I gave yesterday was of the arteries and the capillaries, and how they say the heart, when it pumps, it supplies blood. When it supplies blood, it allows the proper functioning of that particular part or organ. And if something is restricted or restricting that flow, or even if an injury occurs, then what happens to that particular part? It becomes painful to use. In some instances, it becomes useless. And so the same, as I was mentioning yesterday, the same with the deen. The stronger the element of Tawheed, the stronger the level of Iman an individual has. Iman upon Salah, Iman upon fasting, Iman upon giving Zakat, performing Hajj, reciting the Quran Karim. These are all, they all come from Iman. And this is the basis of our deen. So not only does it assert the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time it is rejecting idol worship. What does that mean? You don't bring anything into this equation from the time you're born till the time you die. You don't allow anyone or anything to interfere in that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is your creator, He is your sustainer. Well, we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaq. Yet is our affirmation and confirmation absolute in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaq? Unfortunately, no. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi and other mashayikh and imams have written extensively on not polluting your iman. And the reason why they've done that is over the years after the Khairul Qurun, elements have crept into the community, into the Muslims, into this ummah, that has corrupted the iman of Muslims. And so to rectify that situation, they have spoken extensively about this. And if you read the writings of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, he's very particular and he's very forthright. And unfortunately, a lot of people have misunderstood that. And it's important that we as individuals who we proclaim that we are believers, that we understand what is right and what is wrong in terms of having that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran Kareem is teaching us. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَكْفَالُهَا. It's an ajib ayat. We recite the Quran Kareem daily, we listen to the Quran Kareem daily, we do mutala, we read the tafasir, and we read the translation, the tarjuma of the Quran Kareem. Yet truly, to what extent have we actually understood the message of the Quran Kareem? We say Tawheed, 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 monotheism, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say all these things. And again, I have to keep using the word unfortunate. Unfortunately, it's just verbal. Apart from the tongue uttering it, there is no connection of that word with the mind to comprehend it and the soul or the heart to embrace it. On a daily basis, from the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, can you imagine at how many levels? Well, there are different levels of shirk. There are different levels of shirk. So here we're talking ultimately of the shirk wherein somebody sets up a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or calls somebody something else God. Or associates something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be it we admit to it or not, on a daily basis, at some level we're doing it. So there is a level. The highest level is that of shirk, as in shirk, setting a partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the ulama have discussed, and there is a particular section in the Bukhari Sharif too, where Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali has discussed these aspects. So with everything, so you have different levels of shirk, but then at the same time, you have different levels of nifaq, hypocrisy, then you have different levels of zulm, oppression, and so on. So here we're talking about something that will destroy an individual if not set right. What will happen on the day of Qiyamah when we stand in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is this how much namaz you did? You say, yes, Ya Allah, I did all this namaz just for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you didn't. And what's going to happen? You'll be left standing there with scratching your head thinking, what did I do? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you and say, you did your namaz to show off. Now this is a level of shirk that even in an act of worship, we're actually doing it to show someone else. Be it, a lot of us will not admit to it, but even subconsciously there is an element. Even your tawheed should be embedded all the way into the subconscious. So that if you're rudely woken up in the middle of the night and somebody says, who's Allah? You say, Allahu Samad. Or you say, Qul Hu Allahu Ahad. Allah is one. There is none apart from Allah. This belief, this element of Tawheed, is what the Anbiya alayhimu salam came to teach. If you look at the stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, right from the beginning, they exerted themselves in teaching, in preaching. Their mission was Tawheed. Their mission was Tawheed. To set this right, to remove this element of setting up deities and partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and focusing totally, completely and wholly upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who accepted it became successful. Those who rejected it were the losers. And we should not be from amongst those losers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Amen. And it all begins when you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What have you done? Your proclamation is that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship. Only. Ilahukum ilahu wahid. La ilaha illa huwa rahmanur rahim. What does Allah say? Wa ilahukum ilahu wahid. Your God is one. Your God is one. And there is no deity worthy of worship except Him, the entirely merciful and especially merciful. And how many occasions does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaim, that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy. If that's the case, then there is nothing else that is worthy. And that needs to be understood. All the way, as I said, at every different level, no one is worthy. Is somebody worthy of showing off to that you're reading namaz in a particular way? There is a misconception here. For instance, when it comes to salah, which is the most valuable salah? Which is the most valuable salah? Which is the most important salah? Your fard. Your fard. What happens? Misconception. We sit in etikaf and then all of a sudden we're giving so much preference to nawafil. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't do your nawafil. Do your nawafil, of course. But how much preference have we actually given to our fard? Your fard is an obligation. Your reward for your fard is greater. Your benefit from your fard is greater. A nafil is a nafil in terms of your salah. You cannot weigh your nafil with the fard on the same scale. Misconception. All of a sudden we're giving more preference and we're giving more ahmiyat, more importance to the nafil. Whereas we don't emphasize and we don't give so much importance to our fard. You should kill yourself to do your fard namaz. Now again, let me say this and reiterate. I am in no way, shape or form saying you discard or you don't do or you don't implement the nawafil. You do. You always do. But if you think about it, I'm not wrong. Many of us do that. All of a sudden, we're giving more preference to our nawafil. And we're spending a lot more time in our nawafil. And we're doing more in our nawafil. And we're feeling more in our nawafil than in our fard. Am I right? Absolutely. Why is that? Something wrong there. The hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you do your fard 5 times a day. 2, 4, 4, 3, 4. That's your fard. Of course, it has its attachments of the sunan, the wajibat, and so on and so forth. A misconception. Something wrong somewhere where wires are crossed. The Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu ta'ala wa jama'in, and if you look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely weak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't stand up and carry himself to perform salah. The Sahaba used to give shoulder to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come into the masjid so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could join the jama'at. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, they did that too. They placed a lot of importance on the faraid, fulfilling the faraid. So it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ قُلْ say, هُوَ اللَّهُ He is Allah. He is
Allah.
Allah. Who is what? He is one. Allahu Ahad. Allahu Ahad. There is only one. There is only one. This whole environment that now has been set up is set up to corrupt this ideology which Muslims have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being one. We all know of the situation in Gaza and what is happening right at this moment in time as we sit here. Then there was a message that went round that a certain government had written at an official governmental level a letter condemning what is going on. And the letter seemed, because when I read the letter, my instant reaction was, oh, alhamdulillah, somebody is speaking now. At least someone is saying something and condemning what is going on. Then I was reminded, the first thing you should do is look into the Quran al-Karim. What does the Quran al-Karim say? What is the ayah? قالوا إنما نحن مسلمون نعم الله إنه نعم نعم وبيني. They say we were just mocking and jesting with you. إنما نحن مستهزئون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very clearly mentioned it. What do these people do? They are hypocrites. And what do? They say, oh, you know what, we're with you and we condemn this. But in actual reality, the hypocrisy is such that behind your back they go and say to them, don't worry, we're just jesting with them. We're mocking them. I was reminded, this is just 2 days ago, is it 2 days ago? So the same thing I sent Maulana Abrar to. Your reliance shouldn't be, we all sit here having a hope. That someone will do something, someone will say something. How was Jerusalem conquered? Look in the history. How did Istanbul become Istanbul, Constantinople? It took one man. And the reason he succeeded was because of his belief in Allah. Why did Salahuddin Ayyubi succeed? Because of his belief in Allah. The strength of his iman came from his tawheed. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. This surah, Kul Huwallahu Ahad Allahu Samad Lam Yalid Walam Yulad Walam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad, actually very clearly tells you that nothing, absolutely nothing, is comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the element of Tawheed. That is how strong this element of Tawheed should be. It's only when this element of Tawheed is asserted, becomes firm, will our Iman be firm. Until then, our Iman remains polluted, and we have hopes attached to other people and other things, other institutes, other governments. Our work, the effort we make. Who do you think gives you the ability to put in the effort for the work that you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that away. As an example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all well and protect us from all types of sicknesses and ailments. But the person that sits on a keyboard and is staring at a screen the whole day, what does he need to look at the screen? Eyes. If that sight was to be removed at any level, there would be difficulty for that individual to work. Yet an individual is sitting on a screen and thinking, I'm the one that's doing the work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us and help us to clearly understand what our belief should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what sort of tawheed, what sort of and to what level this element of tawheed should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah keep us well. May Allah guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this beneficial for all of us. Now you can turn the light on. And while you're in i'tikaf, keep making dua for the ummah, for our brothers and sisters. Because we sit here and we really don't know what to do. And this is the least we can do, is make dua. You know the mashayikh, the Sufis, they have developed this methodology of zikr, the taruqs, the tariqas, and all the ashgal, the a'mal that we do, is for one reason. And that is to remove ghayrullah. To remove ghayrullah. And to adapt and adopt absolutely 100% Allah. And if you look in the lives of the Mashaykh, I think I gave an example earlier too, was it? After Isha, I don't remember. The Mashaykh did it and proved it. So did the Imams. Imams of fiqh, Imams of tafsir, Imams of hadith. There are instances in their lives where they were faced with a situation as to should I turn to the makhluk or should I turn to Allah? And they chose the better path, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it there is a material loss, be it there is a loss in this world, but it's not seen as a loss, but a gain. And again, this is a different story. But if you look in the lives of the pious predecessors, you actually see this. So inshallah, yesterday was Jumu'ah, so the timing was a little off. Unfortunately, some people missed the morning Talim session, thinking that it was at 12 o'clock. So inshallah, today the Talim session will be at 12 o'clock. So for you it's easy because you're here. And for me, I have to come from some distance away. So there can be a delay. Maybe I can come earlier. Some sort of... We're all tested all the time. So when I say 12 o'clock, with that, what should I say? Inshallah. But then on top of that, you will make dua too. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings me on time. When we give a time, we stick to our time. Not like some of us today, we give a time and then somebody's hanging around for us for hours on end. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل
سبحان الله what an ayat حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل Allah is sufficient for me. Do you believe it? Really? No, you don't. Let's not get into that. We don't, and I'm saying that collectively. We don't. Say as much as you want, you're only fooling yourself. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us. So what do we do? We keep saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Understanding what it means. Understand what it means. Allah is sufficient for me. That's all we need to understand. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
لا حول ولا قوة
صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله ولي الذين آمنوا.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Close your eyes, focus upon your heart. Contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.